Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 59, on To the Abundant Way. Today is Friday, August 8th, 2008. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from the one and only North Minneapolis, Minnesota in the USA. Today's message, On To the Abundant Way, was originally recorded on January 27th, 1985. Yes, that's 23 years ago, but when you listen to the message, it's unbelievable because time stands still. Subscribe to the podcast at Pastor Paul's blog, and that address is www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you'll see the show notes. You're going to see links to the scriptures, and they're right in the show notes. At the bottom of the show notes, there's a place where you can click on and make a comment. If you have a comment, question, or a suggestion, do that at the blog, or you can call our audio comment line. It's a private line. You can leave a comment. It's just like voicemail. Write it down. Here it is. 1-715-808-0318. For those of you who do not speak English, let me do this slower. 1-715-808-0318. Call the comment line. Or you can send me an email, and that is Janine, J-E-A-N-I-N-E, at pastorpaul.org, and leave a comment. Or if you want to ask a question or make a suggestion, do that in the email. Be sure to visit our website, www.pastorpaul.org. At the top of the website, you're going to see interactive links. Go in, click them on, check them out. You will link to Blogger, Flickr, the podcast, the shop, Twitter, and YouTube. Check them out. Go to them. Go start clicking. Join the groups. Join the Flickr group. Present some pictures. Check out all the historical pictures. Go to YouTube. See our video. It's a documentary. Carolyn and I walked through our flooded youth mission house. That's a disaster. Yes, we did that. March 28th. You will be right there with us. So amazing. So go there and check it out. And then if you have a YouTube channel, let us know. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and let us know, and we can subscribe to yours as well. If you have a podcast, let me know that so I can go check out your podcast. If you have a blog, make a comment at our blog so I can connect to your blog. Flickr, the podcast, Twitter, and YouTube. And Twitter, you've got to join a Twitter group. Join ours. You will answer the question maybe once, maybe twice. Maybe you will be a Twitter-holic. I don't know. But Twitter is, you're going to answer the question, what are you doing now? Do it. Join our Twitter group. It's fun. Okay, about today's message, On To The Abundant Way. Excellent message. A couple of things I jotted down. I will give them to you. But as you know, if you've listened to Pastor Paul's message before, the message strikes everybody different. You get something out of it. These are the couple of the things that I wrote down, that the kingdom of God is among you. The abundant way is giving, sharing, and revealing. It reveals us to ourselves. God is bringing together a church, and it's a moving church, not a sitting church. I really, really like that idea. Moving and shaking church. Get it going, not sitting. Are we ready? Be ready. Are we ready? That really speaks to me. Be ready. And this one I love. The law of love is a natural law, like the law of gravity. It's a natural law. What are you full of? Now, I know some of you have heard that before, or maybe someone has made the comment, you're really full of blah, blah. Yeah. So think about that one. What are you full of? He talks about that because whatever you're full of is probably what you're giving out. The best thing yet, comets are looking for the sun. comets are looking for the sun. You will get a lot out of the message, and I'm hoping that you are telling other people about Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, and that they are joining us as well, because everyone needs to hear these messages. I really believe that they are so good, and Pastor Paul is just the best. Next Friday, join us for episode number 60, On the Way Out of a Divided House. Whoa, are you in a divided house? Well, find the way out. Join us next Friday, episode 60, right here. I love you. God bless you. Have an abundant week. See you next Friday.
But today's message is entitled, On the and On to the Abundant Way. On to the Abundant Way. Are you looking for adventure? Are you looking for a good time? Following Jesus Christ is an adventure. Following Jesus Christ is a good time. I knew that was going to happen. Somebody put that water up here, and I tried to get rid of that water, you know. That's all right. Praise God. Just scoop it right off here. Wait a minute here. Hold everything. God provides. See there, a towel right here. See there? See, I didn't obey. God told me, take that water, put it over there. So now I'm all wet. But are you ready? The Bible says the kingdom of God is among you. One translation says within you, and one says among you. And I thought to myself, which one is for real? Which way? What is the abundant way? And I thought, well, probably both. Because if it's within you, and it's within us, and we share it with others, then it's among us. Glory to God. Now, ministries that preach Jesus are debating all over the place. They're debating salvation. They're debating their water baptisms, their baptisms in the Holy Ghost. And deep, deep wounds are being inflicted, we argue. Why do we argue? Because some are content to be on the way, but they don't want to be on the abundant way. And to be on the abundant way, there's a price to pay. There's a giving of ourselves, there's a sharing of ourselves, there's a looking at ourselves, there's a walking in the light, there's a revealing of ourselves, and that's how you get on to the abundant way. The Bible says, separate yourselves from those causing strife. Criticizers, arguers, and debaters. Well, you say, how long do we have to separate ourselves? You're talking about my whole family. Forever? No, just until that they stop stirring up strife. You pray for them and they'll stop stirring up strife. Oh, don't get striving with them. Pray for them. And that'll stop them from stirring up strife. I mean, no, you can stir up strife yourself pretty easily. I do. See, you don't hang around people that show the body their dirty neck. In other words, if someone's in the body of Christ and is always showing that body, that particular ministry, its dirty neck, always stirring up strife, you don't hang around those types of people. See, God is bringing together a church, a body fitly joined together, not sitting together, but working together. Now, a body that's fitly joined together is a working body. It has movement, and it moves. But a body that's sitting together, pretty soon it's going to start to stink. Because people that are just sitting around, not doing anything, they're going to get to criticizing. They're going to get to debating. They're going to get to saying, I wonder. They're going to get to saying, I doubt it. They're going to get to get into all these different things. It's got to be a working body. You ever see a working body? A working body's happy. working body is doing the work of the Lord, and they sing while they're doing their work, and they're having a good time. But if they're allowed to sit, they grow stale. And I believe in the end time, we're going to see more grace preached in this very last day than ever before. For the Bible says, wherever evil is much more, doth the grace of God abound. Whoa, you say, are you praising God for all this lawlessness and for all this evil? No, I'm not praising God. I'm giving you the word of God. Much more does the grace of God abound. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is God's ability to help you to overcome all sin. Say amen, somebody. God's grace is sufficient. So there's bound to be evil, because wherever good is, the Bible says evil is always present. Are you hearing this? If you're offering Jesus as a free gift, you'll be surprised at the amount of people that will come against you. They want to give Jesus with strings attached. There are no strings attached to Jesus. Say amen, somebody. How many hearing this word? Okay, let's go on here. Praise the Lord for today, and praise the Lord for all you people that are here. In Titus 3 and 3 through 14, remind them to be subject to the rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Remind them to be subject to the rulers. Those are the people over you. The president, the boss at work, the preacher, or whatever. To authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Are you ready? See, to be ready for a good deed, you sometimes have to confess faults to one another and get ready. Be ready for every good deed. Now, God can't call on you if you're not ready. How many are hearing this? Did you ever call on your family? Are you ready yet? No, not quite. I lost my shoe. I mean, you know. Are you ready now? No, I can't find my belt. No, you see, you can't even use people that aren't ready. They're never quite ready. It's like having people coming to a job, and the boss calls on them, and the bell rings, it's time to go to work. I say, are you guys ready to go to work? And they all yell, no, not quite yet. Well, hey, you've been here a half hour. You're on the time clock. It's the same way when you're working for the Lord. God says discipline your time, but people aren't ready. God calls upon them, and they're sitting in a slump, and they're sitting in their little bag of stink, sitting over here. You're not ready. Good overcomes evil. And if evil is overcoming you, go on out and do good to overcome that evil that's overcoming you. But if you're not ready, you're going to sit in the evil that's afflicting you. And so if you just want to sit there in this little bag of stink and don't pray and don't fast and say, oh, pooey to all of it, then you ain't going to have no freedom. Say amen, somebody. Are you ready? Are you ready today to receive a message that will give you freedom? To malign no one. To be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice, envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, unrighteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of the regeneration and by the renewing by the Holy Ghost. There is no excuse once that we've been saved and filled and renewed by the Holy Ghost, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. be careful to engage in good deeds. Getting kind of quiet in here. These things are good and profitable for men, but shun foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, about how good you are, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a fictitious man after the first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. Someone that's preaching the do's and don'ts, wills and won'ts, shan'ts and shouldn'ts, is a man that's preaching condemnation to himself, for he is in sin. Whew. How many heard that? You hear someone come up and they're all bound up and they're all contentious and they're all do this and do that. They're into sin themselves. Or they're just about ready to. They're living under the law. No one can keep that law without the grace of God. Galatians 5 and 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Don't let yourself get all bound up again. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under no obligation, under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You cannot work any other way. If you don't love what you're doing, you can't even work in faith. You can't have faith in what you're doing if you're not doing it out of love. And the reason is because you don't want to do it. And if you do it, you're doing it out of yourself. When you do it out of yourself, you run out of love and you run out of yes, sir, no, sir. Right away, sir. You run out. How many know you run? Oh, yeah, you can run out in a minute. But going on. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You were going along so well. What hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you shall bear this judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. Would that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. Pretty tough words, aren't they? Would those that are persecuting you, that are trying to change your mind, that are trying to have you to go another way other than the grace of God and the love of God, I would that they would mutilate themselves. Now there is a way to get along with ourselves and there is a way to get along with other people. And that way is God's way. The abundant way and the fruitful way. No other way will work. Did you hear that? No. You can even take this, what I'm saying here. You don't want to take it. It'll look like it did work out, but it won't work out. It's not the way. The abundant way the fruitful way, and no other way will work. There's no fruit trees on this way that we try to go. Sometimes that's causing us strife, that arguing, that division causer. It's only the abundant way. Without that, all of our relationships will just fall out. Don't you be dominated to do this or that by strivers. Come on, get going. Come on. Don't be dominated by strivers. Oh, it's okay to have a good, active person. Okay, let's go ahead and let's pray about this and let's get this job done. But someone that's striving, huh? How many know you know when you're striving? I know when I'm striving. I got big blue veins in my neck here. My eyes is all bugged out. I know I'm striving. I know I'm not in the will of God. Well, Pastor Paul, when's the last time you were striving? Well, I think it was last night sometime. I'll probably start striving again. You know, you can even strive when you preach. Did you know that? See, the peacemaker has peace. Did something upset you the other day? Oh, God. How many times do we get upset by something? We're to be peacemakers, and when we're making peace, we make peace for ourselves. Nobody can ruffle our feathers. Were your feathers ruffled sometime last week? Oh, mine were. Ooh, I look like a chicken that went backwards through a wind tunnel. Oh, nobody knew it because, see, I'm pretty sly covering up. Oh, yes, I'm composed and so on. Oh, yes. And I just go in my office and fall out. Yeah! How many done that? How many have said that inside theirself? You lost your peace, didn't you? Isn't it terrible? The price. The minute that we step off of the way, we give up our peace. And here's all the fruit trees and everything, and the sun is shining right down this road. And sure, there's trials and tribulations and so on. But we're walking right along the road and right along the way, and then someone gets our goat. So we step off the way. Well, let me tell you a thing or tell. Then we step back on the way again. But you know what? We get back on the way, and there's darkness on that way, and we can't see quite as well as we did before. And how great is that darkness? You know what we have to do? Sometimes we have to apologize. Even if you're only 1 point wrong out of 100, we have to say, will you forgive me? Then we get back on the way again. How many of you got off the way last week? No, that mother road's got fruit trees that got sour apples on them. Worms in them. No matter how you try to act it out, you know you're not on the way. You know it. You can argue with people and say, oh, that's the way I see it. All right. Well, everything in you is screaming it isn't all right. I talk to people, they try to dominate their family, you see. And the result is frustration. And the result is unhappiness. Because their law preaching will increase their sin and also your sin. If they're not doing it out of love, and if you're not correcting out of love, and you try to dominate by rule and by force, it doesn't work. How many are hearing this? Do's and don'ts will remind them to be sure and do it. See, when you're always talking about something that someone shouldn't do, it reminds them, gee, I didn't think of that. I didn't even think I wasn't supposed to do that. Now it makes me want to do it. Or a Bible says, think on these things, those beautiful things. Peace and joy and happiness. Loving one another. Well, you can think on them. We don't always receive them. We don't always do them. But think on them anyway. It'll change your thinking. It'll take a little time to change your actions. It doesn't happen overnight. I know in my own ministry, when I'm seeing someone bloom, I don't step on everything they do wrong. Because I see myself in that. Is your family now then living under the nation of Dami? Domination? Which treats people like dummies? My dad used to say that with his broken accent. Don't be a dummy. You know what it will produce? Dummies. People that always try to dominate and live in domination. Gather a group of dummies. By trying to dominate, they break the law written in the Constitution of people's relationships. No, I should say they actually don't break the law. You break yourself upon the law. It breaks you. You say, well, what is the law after all? Well, the law is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You don't have to obey this. But the result is you cannot get along with your neighbor. And that could be your wife. That could be your husband. That could be somebody in the church. That could be your boss. That could be somebody in another country. The result is you cannot get along with them. And the relationship will not stand. Examples. You walk out of the house and the neighbor knows what you're going to say before you say it. Oh, looks like rain. Small talk. Grass looks so nice. By the way, your dog visited our yard yesterday again. Small talk. See, this is not loving your neighbor. It's putting up with him. When you get in business, you find that out. Isn't that right? Jim and Dee down there from the Humboldt Jim and Dee's Bakery. Sometimes we just put up with people. But with putting up with people, it makes it harder for us. When you put up with your wife, it makes it harder. Because you find yourselves saying little things. They call you. Honey, you find yourself saying, honey, ooh, huh? What now, you find yourself saying. God, can't you do anything by yourself, you find yourself saying. You're putting up with one another. What good is that? See, you're the prisoner. You're the one that's in bondage. They aren't. They just gave a simple word out. Honey. And then you got this in your head going on. This man's going to drive me crazy. Can't leave me alone for a minute. Or this wife or whatever. Ooh-huh. And it's the same way when we're in business, isn't it? And I just use Jim and Dee because they're here. Mike, isn't that the way it is when someone comes in and you just put up with them? You know when you just put up with them, you're stuck with them. You go home and you think about them. Oh, how'd it go today? Oh, that same old drag came in today. Then you have to talk about the drag. See, you were the drag. You're the one. I'm the one. See, it's not loving people. It's putting up with them. Oh, be glad when that kid goes, I put up with him and his... Ooh. Huh? You never get rid of that kid until that you understand that child, and still that you, and you have to be forgiving all the way along the line, and maybe somewhere down the road they'll say, you know, that was a pretty fantastic mom and dad. Say amen, somebody. I know I said that about my folks. And praise God, I said it before it was too late. Oh my God. Don't just put up with your parents. Oh, we got to go see Dad and Mom today. Mom is always griping and complaining. She's so dominant. She always has her way. You go there and you have a miserable time. Because you know what's going to happen. And the devil doesn't disappoint you either. Gives you exactly what you ask for. See, when you do not love your neighbor, you don't get rid of him. Isn't there a song like that? Night and day, under the sight of you. Ooh, he comes back on your hands as a problem and a pain. All right, folks, we're in business for some 50 years. And I use businesses because it's like church business. And my mother, this is before she was saved, a customer would come in, they were ready to go, you know what I mean? My folks were ready to quit. And anyway, they would come in the cafe. They would come in the cafe, and my mother would say, they would say, I think I'll have a hot beef sandwich. My mother would say, and you look like one. The mashed potatoes, the gravy, the bread, the meat. And they thought that she was joking. Actually, she was not on the way. So they'd come back in. It'd be worse. They'd come back in. Here comes that hot beef sandwich again. Let me tell you, it's a good thing that man wasn't wearing that hot beef sandwich. Because she was not on the way. But they come back and they're on your hands as a problem and a pain. Loving your neighbor is a must. It's like eating. Isn't eating a must? Isn't it? Isn't it a continual need? Isn't it a continual desire? And you get done eating and say, oh, I'll never eat again, huh? Don't you say that? I'll never eat again. That's enough to last me for a week. And that's 12 o'clock and about 2:30. Oh, I could go for a piece of pie now. And I could... Suffering is over. I'll just indulge again. But loving your neighbor is like that. It is. It's got to be a continual need and a continual desire. How many hearing this? Whew. See, you don't have to eat. But if you don't, you can't live. If we don't, like, give away our food downstairs here in the mission so people can eat it up, it will raise a stink. You don't have to love your neighbor, but if you don't love your neighbor, you can never get along with him. People that go to work and they don't love their boss and they don't love people. But I mean, by the grace of God, it takes the grace of God to love some bosses. And it takes the grace of God to love some employees too. But without that, you're going to end up, and the result will be spiritual starvation, an unbalanced diet, and the result of that is stink. And I believe we've seen enough of this unlove in the body of Christ. And what have the results been? Undernourished, poor visioned, dry, tired walk Christians. It all relates back that they got off the way and they didn't walk in love, and they didn't. When you don't walk in love, you aren't walking in the light. And I believe the result is we have to learn how to grow, it says, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only way we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, is through obedience. And that obedience brings knowledge. That's like when Cheryl was going to this to nurse's school. And they said, here's all these books. And there was a pile of books over here and a pile of books over there. Well, she could have just claimed to know everything in them books. That wouldn't have done any good. And there's a whole lot of them claiming freaks. I had one guy came in here and he claimed in the name of Jesus to be able to play the piano, and he didn't take one lesson. And he ran his fingers over weeks, over and over. I said, excuse me, but you're driving me crazy. You don't know how to play the piano, and you never will because you're not obedient. You have to go to school. If you don't stop, I'm going to put a padlock on a piano. But she had to take these books, and she had to obey what the school said and read them. That's like Jim, if he didn't obey what the rules of baking were, and he said, well, it says for you to put these in the proof box here, but I don't think I'll put them in there today. Man, you'd be eating pancakes for rolls. See, there's rules. And there's discipline. And there's direction, and there's guidance, and there's principles, and there's a Savior, the personal Savior, to help you along the way, the King in the kingdom of God. Well, now we fully realize none of us can be saved by the law. And that by our being unloving, we'll break the royal law of love. Another thing I believe we all realize by now, all human failure comes from not being able to understand. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Why is that? Because as soon as you receive something, it's never enough. Here's $50,000. Now you start thinking, wow, $50,000. Oh, if it could only have been $100,000, then I could have bought this. And the guy says, all right, here's another $50,000. Take care of your wants here. Go ahead. It's another $100,000. He starts scratching his head. Well, then I won't have none left for myself. I'll spend the whole thing on it. I should have $50,000 for a buffer. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You're looking for a blessing? Be a giver. And also, when you receive, and you receive largely, give largely. I always knew what I was going to give to the penny because I had a change pocket. I gave God my change. Once in a while, I'd get mixed up. Uh-oh. A lot of people know exactly what they're going to give. You should really come to church and then sit when you're sitting in your pew and the needs are brought up, you say, oh God, what should I give? Let God answer. Don't answer for him. Don't say, 75 cents? Dollar? How much? Dollar? 75? Come on, boys, come on. Tell me. I want direction. You aren't going to get direction. You just wait. God says, Sell all that you have, and you pass out on the floor, and that's the end of it. God wants you to be willing to sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Are you willing? When people are busy blessing each other, that's when they receive. You ever run into someone and say, how you doing? Blessed! Like, how dare you ask me? I'm blessed! Okay, I'll take your word for it. Don't get mad about it. How you doing? Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost! Sorry I ask you. Go on to something else, should we? Why not? Jesus is Lord. I had a wonderful week of suffering last week, and it taught me a whole lot about me. Luke 10 and 27 says, and he answered and said, you shall love your neighbor, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Trickery. Evil questioning. And Jesus replied and said, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Uh-oh, looks like somebody needs help. Let me go on the other side. I ain't got time. And likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. And I believe that God was telling this story right here, and there was actually, those actual people were standing right there in the audience. Has God ever said something and you're the person? Oh, it happens to me all the time. Has it ever happened to anybody? Just me? How about you? Oh, good. Thanks. Well, that's what the Word of God is for, is to convict us so we'll see ourselves in these things and change. But a certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And this was the lowly guy, you know what I mean. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine upon them, and he put him on his own breast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the next day, he took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which one of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers, into the robbers' hands? Now, those guys were standing right there, the priest and the Levite, and they shut their mouths. And the Samaritan was standing over there too. They were all there. I believe it. And they couldn't answer, because if they answered, they'd blow their cover. Oh, it's just awful the way people lay around in the streets. Why don't they get up and get busy and do something, huh? And they told all these people this, the Levite and the priest, and oh, it's just cluttering the roads up and everything. Why don't they get to work? And so everybody knew the story there too. I believe that. And so when he brought this about, whoo! I'll tell you something. People that cannot get along with themselves can't get along with the rest of the body. We either live by love or we live by loss. Sometimes it isn't easy to love the body. Oh, it's easy to love a TV set. You turn them on and you don't have to deal with the people. When it's hugging time, you just walk up and hug the tube. It's not always easy to love the body. You can find something wrong with the body all the time. Don't you find things wrong with your own body? People do. Oh, I just hate my ears. They're so big. I just hate my nose. It's so big. Huh? I just hate my head. It ain't got no hair. You find things wrong with your own body. Huh? I just hate my body. I look like such a wimp. And we do the same thing in the body of Christ. How many are getting kind of quiet in here again? Lord, we're having a lot of quiet times in here. Oh, that's good, because we're thinking. We either live by love or we live by loss. And if we are troubled people, we can only give out what we got. Trouble. Have you ever seen a troubled person, it takes a worried man to, what does it say? Sing a worried song? Oh, it takes a worried man to sing a worried song. Yes, yes, it takes a worried man to sing a worried, huh? And so, how's it going? Worry. A lot of worry going on. Worry. I'm worried. Huh? Like the road runner? How's it going, road runner? I'm worried. I don't know if I can make it to the next gas station or not. If we're full of these things, if we're full of love, we give out love. And if we're full of joy, we give out joy. And if we're full of peace, we give out peace. And if we're full of power, we give out power. And if we're full of grace, we give out grace. And if we're full of law, we give out law. If we're full of forgiveness, we give out forgiveness. And if we're full of unforgiveness, we give that out too, don't we? I can't forgive. I won't forgive. I can't. And you die, you have high blood pressure, and oh my. You can only give out what you have received. It's like walking up to someone and say, hi, what you got for me today? Look out. Bible says, freely, freely I've given to you, freely give it away. God has given you salvation, and salvation has all these things in it, love and peace and joy and power, grace, forgiveness. God has given us all these things, and if we give those things away, whatsoever we sow, we will reap. And we will reap abundantly, 30, 60, and 90. Be careful what you fill up on. You fill up on hate, and you sit in a group that just hates. I hate everything. I hate the country. I hate the president. I hate the governor. I hate him. How many hated something last week? Huh? Guilty as charged. Huh? No, I can't say that I did. Oh, come on. Maybe you hated yourself. You admit that? All right. And you know what you gave out then? Hate. You try to disguise it, it still comes out hate. What'd you fill up on, gossip? What are you going to give up? What'd you fill up on, rebellion or strife or lust or look out the people you sit with when they're dining on all of these niceties. Oh, they sound so good, and they, oh, you just fill up on all this superstition and fill up on all this suspicion, spinach. You eat it all up, and now you're suspicious of everybody. I wonder what he meant by that. You can't even say good morning. Good morning. Wonder what he meant by that. Must be a meaning to it. Huh? Isn't that crazy? See, that's the law. Whatever you full, and whatever you fill up on will run you. What are you running on? Running on suspicion? Got a little trench coat on with a red carnation and a hat? Huh? Going from building to building? See, inside we do that all the time. We're run on suspicions. I suspect this, I suspect that. It sounds crazy, but it's really the truth. And you run from one thing to the next thing. I don't know about this person, and I don't know about that. And so the whole day you can wake up in the morning and I give that day to God, and you run on hate. Oh, I hate my job. I hate my boss. I hate my husband. I hate the kid. I hate the house. I hate this car. I hate my hair. I hate everything, huh? And that's what you give out. Whatever that you're full of, what are you eating lately? What are you filling up on lately? Watch out who you're sitting with. Watch out who you're talking. Strife makers. And you know, if you have a tendency to be that way and you sit with them, you just get into it. And you know what you're going to end up? A gut ache. I believe the world's relations have been broken down because they broke the love law. It's like the law of gravity holds us up. But if we lean too far out over the abyss, we'll fall in. We'll just fall right in. And I believe that the whole world, I know this, that the whole world is collectively guilty. For let's say World War II. No one loved his neighbor enough to start speaking out against Hitler. I believe the whole world is collectively guilty for the great loss of 6 million Jews. Many were checking out their increased profits in every country. Many churches in Germany praised Hitler as a great leader. They prayed collectively, "Thank you, God, for this great leader." They're getting more money into the church. They were not born again believers. They were not filled with the Holy Ghost. They were not a God. And I tell you, to stand by or listen to destruction of a person or a body is sin. You just stand by and don't say anything when somebody's just tearing somebody up. Speak up for Cambodia and Africa. Speak up. Speak up for Billy Graham. Speak up for Jesus. Open up your mouth and let some love fly out. You hear a song like that? Open up your mouth and let some love fly out. But anyway, as Christians, we have the key. The kingdom of God is amongst us. And we must learn to live according to the kingdom by collectively loving or be a living nation of dummies. A bunch of dummies trying to dominate each other and perishing. Oh, how often we try to dominate and press our ideas on the next person. But don't you see? Wait a minute. Hold it. Shut up. I gotta get... Huh? Why not back up our ideas with the kingdom of God ideas, and those ideas cannot be argued with? Only a fool would argue against the word of God. In James 3:9, with it we bless our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Oh, wait, let me go up to verse 8. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt produce fresh. Salt water produce fresh water. Can't happen. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousies, selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. How many got a little bit jealous over something last week? Well, if so, don't be arrogant and lie against the truth. For where jealousy and self-ambition exist, oh, it's so easy to get into self-ambition. Did it happen to any of you last week? There is disorder and every evil thing. Sometimes I get into a selfish ambition. Well, you know, it'd be nice. Oh, I mean, it isn't a vision from God, it's a vision from self. Whoop. It happened to you last week, maybe? Huh? This wisdom is not that which come down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. And because the wisdom from above is first pure and peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I mean, it's a continual. Let me read in verse 4, in chapter 4 here. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? What you please to do. What you want to do. That's a source of quarrels. You're quarreling with God. Isn't this a message in a hat? I know there's a lot of people on the radio just getting mad about this. It's the truth. It's our own pleasure seeking that causes quarrels. We quarrel. Then we try to, well, the reason I want to do this is for the glory of God. Well, it's not for the glory of God. It's for the glory itself. Check it out. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. It's like in a family, they want to be the dominant source. And they fight and quarrel. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motive, so that you may spend it upon your pleasures. Isn't there a lot of that ministry going on? Yes, so you can spend it on your own pleasures. And God, I promise you, I'm going to give you 50% of that $10 million that I'm claiming. Let me state that problem again. The problem is how to live well in a universe of moral law. Moral law is written right on the inside. Even babies know that. Babies know it's written right on the inside. They'll be getting ready to poke to see mom come. They'll put the fist down. As soon as mom leaves, they let that other kid have it right in the face. It's written in our nature. It's written in our relationships. But we have done a poor job. The world right now is shipwrecked. The world right now is guilty. It's inhibited. It's guilty. It's frustrated. It's hateful. It's lonesome. It's suicidal. It's incomplete. Why? They have left the royal law of love. But should we give them a law to keep when they can't keep themselves? Oh, wonder of wonders, people. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God, and the world is already frustrated. The world is already judged, the Bible says. And if you judge by the law, then the law will judge you. Grace is the only answer. Love, mercy, and forgiveness is the only answer. And we've got to go ahead with these things, recognizing our own faults, correcting those things, going on the way. When we go off, we say, I'm off, we get on again. But God has given us all a choice, hasn't He? He will not go against our will, which is your personality. Your will comes out in your personality. Did you know that? God won't go against it. Because then we become things instead of people. Either we have a good will or a bad will or a won't will. When God created us, He had to limit His moves because the essence of personality is freedom. But God has a way of changing our personalities. And the way of changing our personalities is by refining it in the fire. How many have gone through the fire? Go through the fire. You know, I started thinking about it the other day, and the Bible does say that God created good and evil. And created man in His image, and He took a risk. You see, because our free will could be dangerous. Our free will could break God's heart. Our free will hurt others, doesn't it? When we want to have our own way, don't we hurt other people? Isn't there a song like that? I think Frank Sinatra sings it. I'll have it my way. Wouldn't that have been great if he would have sang, I'll have it your way. When we want to have it our way, and I want to have it my way, we hurt people. No, what we'll go to have things our way. We'll destroy and we'll murder. Do anything to have it our way. Isn't that right? We even talk about each other because we want to have it our way. Well, I don't know. I don't know what you think about this, but this is the way I see it. God forgive me if I'm wrong. He won't forgive you because you are wrong. Right? And if we know that, we get off the way. We can always find something wrong with one another, can't we? God, we need to be able to relate with people and to say, no, brother, you're the same way. You're going off the same way I was. You want to serve God, but you don't want to serve Him all the way. There's a certain program you want to see on TV. There's something you want to do. And so then you make up a vision, or God, if the sun comes up, I'll take that as a fleece that you want me to stay home. And the sun comes up. So, well, see? Thank the Lord, I ask. Oh, that's the only way to do it, huh? Oh, God. And you know what happens? We fool ourselves. And so we just go half, we got 1 foot hopping on the narrow road. Oh, that's hard. God, that's hard trying to hop along. Especially when God says, now you got to hop all the way back. Oh, God. Oh, huh? Oh, I know He's talking right to me. Of course. However, you're going to change. Now, let me wrap this up. Don't you take a chance when you bring a child into the world? Don't you? You never know what he's going to grow up to be. Huh? Do you? Bible says, raise him up in the ways of the Lord, and when he is old, he'll come back to it. Because that little guy has a will in between. Never know. Raise him up. What's this mobster, this machine gun so-and-so, and he had a girlfriend? Huh? Well, you know who they were. Huh? Bonnie and Clyde. When they were little babies, did they ever suspect that Clyde would have a machine gun and Bonnie? You take a chance when you get into raising families. That's why you got to trust in the Lord. They don't always turn out the way you want them to turn out. And God is dealing with them all that time. You have to believe God is dealing with your family. Don't give up on them. Pray for them. Oh, that kid's just like his mom. No good, or rotten right down to the core. Hey, this kid's got a demon. It's no good. Back, back. Huh? It's how people treat each other. Know how many children are treated like that? You know why they hate him so much? Because they see themselves in their children. Worse yet, I see myself in everybody, including Hitler. Including Judas. It's only the grace of God that will deliver us from these things. But God came and he said, I'll pay the price for all their sins. They are my children. Their sin is mine. Their love is mine. Their failures are mine. And we'll work it out together. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord, for such a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful Jesus. God has seen a glorious end to all that accept him. My God has a lot of nerve. My God has got a lot of grace. And it says, no one shall snatch you from my hand. And he shouts, they're mine. But our freedom complicates God's game of life so many times, like playing chess. And they have different moves. Then they have at the end, oh my, checkmate! And we check the devil every time. Does he allow God to move us around on that board? And if we want to be more God-like, we must receive God's grace. More grace. We receive and respond and we give out. The more that you receive a grace, the more you're going to give out of God's grace. The more you recognize these things in your own lives and you receive the grace of God to overcome them and you have the joy of overcoming them and the realization that you've overcome through Christ, the more you're going to be able to help other people, but you have to recognize these things. More Christ-like. And who is God's character? The character of Christ. Let me sing a little song here in closing. God's my everything. Rolled up into one, he's my everything underneath the sun. God is nature in its giving, a life that's worth living, a saving Christ that's building me a home. Oh, how we need to get on the abundant way. Oh, how we need to direct one another when we're going off of the path and say, oh, brother, come back. That's not the way. And even if they say, shut up, I'm working it out. Keep calling to him. Keep praying for him. No, I thank you, Lord, today that I can commit my ways and I can commit my thoughts and I can commit and confess my sin because you are trustworthy and you understand. And I can always find love from you, Lord. I started to think about this when they talk about all these different planets that are rushing by, these, what do they call them, these comets. They're actually planets that are zipping through space until they find some kind of a sun that will catch them up, and so they can ring around that sun. That's the same we are, radio audience that aren't saved, born again, or people that are born again that are off the way. You're like a comet going through, and you need to find a sun to revolve around and catch you and wheel you around and keep you in a continual motion. Oh, how we need to receive that today, that Jesus Christ is the only way. Now, if you're not born again here today, come to the sun. Don't be a halfway person. Don't fasten on to dead branches. They break off in any kind of a storm. Come to the tree of life and don't stop at a good resolution. Don't stop right there at resolution branch. That's a dead branch. Don't stop at I'll be good. That's a dead branch. Don't fasten on to your favorite pastor. That's a dead branch. Get acquainted with the tree of life, Jesus Christ, because there's no dead branches within him, none whatsoever. If you're sitting in here today listening to this tape or to this radio, I'll tell you right now, there is an answer, there is a way, there is the Lord Jesus Christ. You that have come off and gone off the way and diverted someone's, diverted your attention, and no one can call you, but you're just mad and ornery and mean. Get back on the way. Get on the way. On the way again. On the abundant way again. How many heard this today? Oh, glory to God. And if you step off, like I say, we'll do it all kinds of times next week. Recognize it. Get back on the way again. Now, is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Anybody? Praise the Lord. Maybe someone in here, not on the way yet. And, you know, confirmation is not that. You don't get on the way by going through confirmation. You become a church member. You don't get on the way by just coming to church and sitting. No, you get on the way by receiving the way. And whatever that you receive and is within you, that's what you're going to do. You act out. That's what you receive. If you receive love and mercy and grace today, then you go out and you act that out. And you know, sometimes we're hams. You have to keep acting it out until you get professional. Sometimes you kind of ham it up. Okay? But God is going to work it out for all of us. Isn't that wonderful? Well, yeah, but you don't know the predicament. It does not matter. The greater predicament, the greater the victory, if you only believe. Believe it. I know I'm talking to somebody out there that ain't going to believe, but start to believe. My God, when everything seems like it's going wrong, that means everything is about ready to start getting right. There, I said it, and I'm glad. It's the truth. But it's so hard to get people to receive that. You know, you'd like to choke, you'd like to dominate them, but you can't do that either, can you? They have to be opened up, and their heart has to be opened up. Open up your heart and let the light and let the love come in and let the change come in and say, yes, God, you are able. Give up. Is there some little stinking thing you're holding on to that's keeping you off of the way? Is it a man? What a simple thing to hold on to. A frail, simple, little man. Or is it a woman? It's not worth getting off the way for. No way. Are you hearing this? And so you love and you pray for those people. You don't get angry and upset. Because you're the one that's stuck with them then. You love them and then you give them to God. I love you and I'm going to give you to God. There, take that.
How many heard this message today? Is there anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? You can know him today. The most important part of the message, when people need to be on the way, like they need to be on the way right now. Is anybody in here? Okay, you in the radio audience, maybe you have been contemplating coming to Jesus, but then you're looking at Christians, you say, oh, the whole church is full of hypocrites. No, it's not quite full yet. You're not here. Everybody's a hypocrite once in a while. How many are a hypocrite once in a while? I know I am. My God. Anyone? Okay, is there one or two people that will just give a word of encouragement to the radio audience, something that touched you in the message today that kind of helped somebody? Maybe somebody in a marriage or someone with a relationship with a man or a woman. Something. Somebody, just speak up. Some kind of a word. Praise the Lord. Some kind of a word. Anybody? I'm going to go over here. I get you quite a bit. I'm going to try to get somebody else.
This past week I had strife in the job that I started cleaning houses, and it was making me sick to my stomach, and I just gave it to the Lord, and he showed me how to clean properly, get the job done, and not have strife, you know. And I had strife in my marriage about him not getting enough done at home, and I just prayed, and then I just had peace, and I just saw him getting things done, you know, instead of just yelling at him.
Dominating. The house of Dommy. You a Dommy? Thanks, Dad, for that message. He's not with us. He's in heaven. But there's a great cloud of witnesses watching. He's watching. Right? Remember when you used to call us Dommies? Anyone else get a little revelation? Doesn't be a great, big, huge, you know, Bible study, but just a word. Okay.
Well, not too long ago, I was involved in a relationship, and it wasn't of the Lord, and I know I was just kind of stuck in my walk when I was with this person. It was really hard to give up that person, but when I finally did, I was set free. The Lord just freed my spirit, and now I'm back on that path again, and I just praise God.
Isn't that precious? Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anybody in the balcony? All right, here, John.
Okay, well, it's kind of simple, but the Lord's been showing me that nothing's worth distracting because, you know, if you get off the way, you're not going according to God's call. And it says in the scriptures that, you know, for those that love the Lord, you know, eye has not seen or ear heard or entered in the heart of man. The thing that God has prepared for them, that, you know, that them that love them and are walking according to his ways. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you're walking according to the Lord's ways, you just, you know, you're going to get your socks blessed off constantly.
Wow. In this country, that could be dangerous, right? Frostbite. Okay. Anybody else? Whoops. Excuse me, dear. Anyone else? Oh, my pants are dry. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Got something they want to share? Anybody? Might help somebody out there. Okay. Has anybody got a special song that I will try to lead? Wait a minute. Let's do it this way today. Hang on now. Oh, great. I didn't bring my songbook.